Heal 374. 374. Heal number 374.
Baptist Church and homecoming. I like that. I was telling Brother Lloyd up north, it's not so much of a history as it is down here. They'll probably call it like a church anniversary or something. But you know, you think about being a part of a church that has been in the heritage of this one as long as it has. Let's do this. Let's start. Higher. If you've been a member of this church for 70 years, raise your hand. Got one in the back, 70 years. Okay, let's drop it down to 60 years. If you've been a member of Helmet Baptist Church, okay, that goes down to four of those guys. All right, 50 years. If you've been at Helmet Baptist Church for 50 years, all right? Let's go to 30. If you've been here for 30 years, raise your hand. All right, 20 years. That should be the rest of them. There you go. You know, that's quite a heritage. And then think one day if the Lord tarries, there will be grandkids of grandkids that will be able to say the same thing. And to have a place that's stood by the stuff and the doctrine of the Word of God that's not swayed from that, the message in 100 and some years, that's never changed. It's always been the same. And I just want to just read a little bit of this this morning. This was from a homecoming you had in the past. Helmet Baptist Church, which is all, it's 115 years now, right? So this was from the 100th year anniversary. It was established in 1906 at the Pine Creek Baptist Church, set a delegation consisting of the following to organize a Baptist church in Helenwood. Elder Richard Ellis, moderator, Elder Truman Ellis. Is there anybody related to these two people I just read? Nobody? Okay. All right. What about committee and, let's see, Richard Ellis, moderator, Elder Truman Ellis, committee, and L.D. West. Anybody related to L.D. West? Okay. All right. The clerk. The following members with letters of recommendation became the charter members of the Helenwood Baptist Church. Ruth Wilder. Anybody relatives of her? Nope. Denton Owens? Anybody? Okay. Alba Robbins? Okay. The West. John Moore? Anybody related to them? Okay. All right. And I don't know if I'll get this one right. Perazda Moore. How you say that, Dave? Perazda. All right. This was the organizational minutes are neat to read, and you can read that at some time. And there's the pastors. R.D. Ellis, 4 years. R.C. Cecil, 2 years. T.M. Ellis, 11 years. John Belvins, 4 years. Sam Garrett, 2 years. Joe Bowling, 1 year. Roy Belvins, 5 years. Virgil Cecil, 37 years. And he has the title of the longest. then Holbert Wright, 1 year. Wheeler Belvins, 1 year. And I hope I didn't butcher his name. What? Blevins, all right. Milford Cecil, 10 years. Roger Cecil, 22 years, and now me. And you think about the what that represents, right? It's, I mean, many of you, some of you got saved. Is there anybody here that was saved when Virgil was the pastor? Okay. And that's way back. And probably there's some that got saved during Roger or all of these men. And each one of these men God used in a special way to take the church to the next step. And it's just good to have heritage. It's good to protect that heritage. It's good to protect the word. Like I said, the message of this church hasn't changed in 115 years. People could still walk through that door and hear the gospel and get saved and find direction. And that's something that to be very, very thankful. And our family is glad to be a part of that. And this morning we get to baptize a young guy, and the heritage continues, and that's encouraging to see. And just thank you for coming out and being a part of that this morning, Brother Ronnie.
All right. Good morning. If everybody please stand and get a hymn book and turn to hymn number 179, or Brother Deacon's come forth to receive the morning offering. Brother Matt, would you ask the blessing of the offering, please?
Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for the Son being in the house. Lord, we thank you for love for many years of service that served you for our journey for us as your new child. And we want to thank you.
Thank you. amazing grace. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy reigns, unending love, amazing grace. The earth shall soon dissolve like snow, the sun forbear to shine, but God who called me here below will be forever mine. My chains are my God, my Savior has ransomed me, and like a flood, His mercy reigns, unending love, amazing grace.
I guess it was, sorry. First off, I want to thank Janet for helping us.
Yeah.
I guess it was probably 6 weeks ago. I was on my lawnmower, and as my dad says, that's whenever I do my thinking, whenever I'm on my mower. And this old song come to me and asked Janet to help us with it, so we appreciate her helping us. I believe we're celebrating 115 years in this place because we've had men, women, boys and girls who believe in prayer.
Amen.
And so I appreciate that. Mm-hmm.
While we are living in this world of care, many the burdens that we have to bear, but there's a prayer bill at the Lord's right hand. Give it ring and he will understand. Prayer bells of heaven, oh, how sweetly they ring, bearing our message unto Jesus the King. When you are burdened down with trouble and care, ring on and on, for God will answer your prayer. Three Hebrew children to flames were thrown because a mortal king they would not own. Jesus delivered and the king then saw. Prayer bells of heaven beat a man-made law. Prayer bells of heaven, oh, how sweetly they ring, bearing our message unto Jesus the King. When you are burdened down with trouble and care, ring on and on, for God will answer your prayer. Into the garden Jesus went to pray, until His sweat became as blood, they say, ringing the prayer bells there in agony, bringing salvation that we might be free. Prayer bells of heaven, oh, how sweetly they ring, bearing our message unto Jesus the King. When you are burdened down with troubles and
You know, it's a kind of amazing. David put me in that older group. Way back when Virgil was pastor. So.
You know, all those dear brothers and sisters that's gone on before us, I miss them. I really do. They meant a lot to me, and I'll never be able to forget all the good instruction and teaching they gave me down through the years here at the Hillenwood Baptist Church.
So often down here we have a reunion. Our friends and our loved ones all gathered around, but some faces are missed. They've gone on to heaven to be there with Jesus till the trumpet shall sound.
Up all the time. Got a hunter waiting back here in the wings. Heard this song back probably 2 months ago, I guess. Just kind of stumbled upon it by accident. Written by a good Christian man, one called Oh, the Love of My Redeemer. And I listened to the words and typed them out, and I thought, surely to goodness, that man could probably quote to Romans chapter 8 to us. Who can separate us from the love of God? He wrote this song. It's just scripture all the way. So you pray for us, and then we'll be through.
Highest height or darkest deep, either pain or poverty, there is nothing that can keep my Redeemer's love from me.
Amen.
All alone though I may feel, all the world my enemy, still there's no one that can steal my Redeemer's love from me. Oh, the love of my Redeemer, never failing, come what may. He has purchased my forgiveness and has washed my sins away. Although burdened by the weight of great trial or tragedy, none of these can separate my Redeemer's love from me. Though the earth's foundations shake, driving wind or raging sea, neither death nor life can take my Redeemer's love from me. Oh, the love of my Redeemer, never failing, come what may. He has purchased my forgiveness and has washed my sins away. Through this world's few passing days and through all eternity, I will never cease to praise my Redeemer's love for me. Oh, the love of my Redeemer, never failing, come what may. He has purchased my forgiveness and has washed my sins away. He has purchased my forgiveness. Jesus washed my sins away.
Brother Dave in Sunday school today said, the more you guys sing, the less we got to hear you. So we're just trying to hold him to his word. I couldn't think of a more, I about talked myself out of singing back there, but I couldn't think of a more appropriate time to sing. You know, it's homecoming. I asked Dave up there, I said, it's homecoming today. And it's funny how the Lord works, but, you know, there is another home we're going to. And it's a great thing that we're not here to stay. And if you got your Bibles real quick, or I'll just read it. Matthew 28, verse 2. And behold, there was a great earthquake. For the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came down and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. What a different story we'd be living right now if that happened. If Christ died on the cross and never rose again the third day, we'd be living a different life right now. And I'm here to tell you, man, I'm excited about getting to see the Lord. I'm thankful for what he's done for me. So pray for me when I sing this. I'll probably botch it like I always do, but the words to me are important.
Oh, I see an empty grave. Wipe away those tears, child, there's no need to cry. Stand up on your feet now, lift your head up high. Don't wait till tomorrow, lay down your sorrow, freedom is here today. Wipe away those tears, child, put down your shame. Oh, I see an empty grave. I hear the heavens shaking, angels in jubilation. That stone's been rolled away.
I feel the darkness breaking, I bet the devil's shaking. Somebody celebrate, I see an empty grave. Know you are a sinner, appointed once to die, and hell is where you enter without the sacrifice. Believe in his name, the lamb that was slain, it is finished, was his cry. Get washed in his blood, so one day you too will rise. Oh, I see an empty grave. I hear the heavens waking, angels in jubilation. That stone's been rolled away. I feel the darkness breaking, I bet the devil's shaking. Somebody celebrate, I see an empty grave. Wipe away those tears, child, go and tell the news. What started in the garden was finished in the tomb. It's all reversed, the tree and the curse, 3 days in the ground. Christ our Lord is risen, death couldn't hold him down.
Amen.
Okay, well, they kept their word. We had some good singing, so I got to preach fast, 15 minutes. Let's see if I can do it. Take your Bibles, if you would. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 1. Appreciate that singing. Brother Lloyd and Arnold, if you're around when I die, I want you to sing that at my funeral, okay? You promise me? Okay. Everybody's probably wondering, what's the odds of that happening, because they're older than I am, but I could drop dead tomorrow. I enjoyed that. Thank you for sharing that with us. Isaiah chapter 1, looking forward to baptizing Tyler, right? That's Nate. I thought you said Tyler earlier. Are you messing with my head? Nate, I think he called you Tyler earlier. Who do you believe messed up, me or him? Okay, you are. Oh, look at that. All right. Yeah, I think, hey, you may have to do some running at football, but I will come run with you, all right? Nate, you are Randy Burge's nephew? Cousin. Some relation to Randy, right? All right. Okay, and we get to baptize him. He got saved after devotions and football practice a couple weeks ago, and that's pretty cool. Looking forward to doing that. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the truth that's in it. Thank you for the good music we've already had and the heritage of this church, but more importantly, what we all gather around today. Lord, many people have trusted you as their Savior in this building. Lord, there are people that have started their families. Lord, have got married in this building. Lord, there's people that have had answers to prayer for physical illness, Lord, at these altars. There have been marriages that have been restored at these altars. There have been prodigals that have come home at these altars. There have been Christians who you've sustained at these altars in this very room. And I just want to thank you for being faithful when the word is opened, and pray that you continue to do that today. Father, just thank you for being so kind, loving, and forgiving. Lord, we don't want to take it for granted. You're a holy God. We don't want to bring our sin or our problems before you today. Lord, I pray that we would take care of them in our heart. Lord, that we would, Lord, seek help from you. I pray that you'd be with this message this morning, Father, and Lord, that everything that happens afterwards. Lord, we love you. We ask this in your precious name. Amen. In Isaiah chapter 1, if you want to go down to verse 1, it says, "Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth. For the Lord hath spoken, I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me." Now, we're going to talk through this because I don't have time to read it and then do it all over again. And here, as God is opening this statement up in verse 2, "Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth." So he wants everybody to hear this. "For the Lord hath spoken, I have nourished and brought up children," and that's a good thing. But then look at the other part of that, and they have rebelled against me, and there's nothing like a broken heart of a parent from a child who's no longer walking with the Lord, or no longer in fellowship with the Lord, or in fellowship with a family. That's a hard thing to deal with. But more important, here's God of heaven who has given everything, more than any human parent could ever give. And he looks back at his children and he's saying, I took care of them and I brought them up, yet they have walked away from me. And that's just a sad thing to have to hear the God of heaven say that. And then in verse 3, the ox knoweth his owner and the ass his master's crib, but Israel doth not know, and my people doth not consider. He's saying, listen, even the animals that you feed understand who takes care of them, and they respond back to that. You know, when I back in Pennsylvania, when I had horses, you'd go out there, and after you get done with a ride and you get off of one, and I had one that would come up and almost knock me over just wanting to brush his head up against me. And people that are big into horses say you shouldn't let them do that, but I always just felt like he was saying, hey, you know, I like you too, right? And God's saying here, even the animals recognize that, and even the animals understand who takes care of them and honor them for what they do. But then it goes on and says this, but Israel doth not know, my people doth not consider. A sinful nation. This is he's calling them a sinful nation, but these were a people that were called out to be his people, and now he has to call them a sinful nation. A people laden with iniquity. Not just sin, not just problems, but the Bible is saying it's gotten to the point when he looked down at his people, the one that came through the Red Sea, the ones that God gave them that special land. He's saying that the people now are laden down with sin. They're burdened with it. They're carrying it with them every day. There's no relief. There's no repentance. There's no healing. And it's caused them to be sick because they're dealing with it every single day. It said, with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They are gone away backward. And he's saying this about his children. He's looking down and he's saying, listen, it's not like it was when I took care of you and I blessed you and you've not honored me. And now you're laden down with sin and you've become evildoers. Verse 5, why should you be stricken anymore? You will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick and the whole heart faint. Here's what he's saying. Now, this is a father. He has the right to talk like that. These are his children. And here's what he's saying. He's saying, my family is sick. Not just part of them. He said, from the top to the bottom, they're sick. They're not healthy. You know, they're not doing what I've called them to do. And they're reaping the benefits of that. From the soul of... So he's wanting you, words are not accidental in the Bible. He's wanting you to understand the condition of Israel. Here he says this, the whole head is sick, the whole heart is faint. You would think that's a good enough explanation. But then he wants you to understand really how deep the problem goes. From the sole of the foot even unto the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. When you think about wounds and bruises and putrefying sores, you think about things that haven't healed. You're thinking about things that haven't been taken care of. You're thinking about something that was injured but wasn't looked after. There was no salve put on it. It wasn't bandaged up. And he's saying, now there's wounds. Well, and there's sickness. And listen to this word. Putrefying sores. Now, when he went down, if you were to walk among the children of Israel, it's not like everywhere you look, there were open sores on everybody. That's not what you would see. It's not like if you walked among the children of Israel then, you wouldn't see a bunch of wounded people walking on crutches. He's talking about their condition spiritually. He's saying spiritually their problems have become like putrefying sores. That's a pretty strong language that he's using to talk about how sick people can get spiritually, how broken down people can get because of sin. Do you know sin is still toxic? Sin still causes problems. Sin still makes people spiritually sick. It shows up in our families. It shows up in our personal lives. And when it's not attended to, it just gets worse and worse and begins to rot. And he is saying that's what it's like. To understand what it's like, putrefying sores, it's spiritually what he's talking about, problems like Lot. I mean, here's a man, I believe you're going to see him in heaven. Because in the news it says, hearing and seeing the wickedness, it vexed his righteous soul. I believe Lot's a believer and you're going to see him in heaven. But do you know that Lot fathered his own grandchildren? Now you want to talk about how far sin can take you? That's what God's talking about. He's talking about things like that. He's talking about things like a king who has everything, yet goes into somebody else's home and takes a wife and then murders her husband. And you know, all throughout the Bible, Samson, you know, when he had problems with his eyes and that was manifested in his flesh, and he ended up at the end of his life, here he is, he's grinding corn like an animal, his eyes are poked out, and it's all because of sin. And God is saying that is what all of Israel is like. They're walking around wounded, they're walking around sick. It's like putrefying sores because the things of the world has now become rampant in their lives. They've not dealt with it. They've not asked my forgiveness. They've not repented. And it's gotten to the point where it's not just a little sickness. It's from head to toe. It's everywhere. It's like a putrefying sore. It goes on to say this, for the soles of their feet, even under the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment, which only God can do. Your country is desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. I want you to go down to verse 10. Hear the word of the Lord, ye rulers of Sodom. Give ear unto the law of God, ye people of Gomorrah. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me, saith the Lord? Now here's the people that are sick, but they're still trying. They're trying to be spiritual without the healing. They're still going through the motions. They're still showing up for the sacrifices. They're still bringing stuff to the tabernacle and to the temple. But the problem is they've not dealt with the issues on the inside. So God is saying, to what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me, saith the Lord? I am full of the burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beasts. I delight not in the blood of bullocks or of lambs or of goats. They were still going through the mechanics of religion. They were still going through the mechanics of tradition, but they were sick. They were attending these services and they were sick. They were still bringing the sacrifice. They were showing up on the feast days. And he's saying, what good is all of this? Because you're not healthy. It's gotten to the point, it's not just part of you, it's all of you. And then he goes on to keep describing the situation that he was seeing here in verse 12. When you come to appear before me, who hath required this at your hand to tread my courts? Bring no more vain oblations. Incense is an abomination unto me. The new moons, the Sabbath, the calling of the assemblies, I cannot away with it. It is iniquity. Even the solemn meetings, even coming before me to open up the word is something that's disgusting to me, because on the inside, you've not dealt with the putrefying sores. You've not dealt. And may I tell you, we cannot forget what sin does. Sin will always hurt us. It hurts our families. It hurts each other. There are people in this room that bear real scars and real wounds because of not only our own sin, but the sin of the people that are around us. And until we get help from the great physician, until we allow him to do the healing on the inside, until we recognize the fact that we need him, they did not have to get to this point. They did not have to let it get to the point where it is putrefying. If they would have just dealt with it, if they would have just recognized the fact that they need the Lord, if they would have just recognized that sin cannot be just swept under a rug, that the effects of that have to be dealt with, because it is a very damaging thing how many of you have ever cried when nobody was looking because something somebody said to you? And even if it wasn't an actual tear, inside you felt the pain. And that's just one element. That's just one element of what sin can do. And then you talk about the shame that comes after sin. And then you talk about the progression that happens. And it just drags you into a deeper hole. And then the lies that have to follow, and then the deception that has to follow. And then when a person becomes spiritually sick, everybody around them has to deal with somebody who is not right with God and affecting the atmosphere of everything that they're involved in. And then that makes everybody in that room sick, because they're sick, and it's spilling over into their life, and you've got drama, and you've got pain, and you've got hurt feelings, and you've got betrayal, and you've got the loneliness, and you've got all of these things that I could go on and on and on, and it is a byproduct of being spiritually sick, and God's saying, that's what it is, and you've not dealt with it, and it's not getting any better. You come to church, and you're sick, and you sing, and you're sick, and you're trying to fix it with everything else but me. You're trying to cure it with everything else, but the only thing that can help you. And he goes on, and he says this in verse 15, and when you spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes from you. Yea, when you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Wash you, make you clean. Now, I tell you, it's pretty depressing to get to verse 16. You know what he says? He's saying, but if you will, you can make an appointment with the great physician, and I can heal you. When you look at what you see here, you wonder, what hope is there? What hope is there? Listen, families are broken today in America. People are broken today in America, and I'm not just talking about outside in the world where people don't know the Lord. I'm talking about in his house. Why? Because we walk in a world that is dying to sin every day, and that stuff has now affected us. We are not as healthy as we need to be. And it's time that we just admit it. And you know what I'm guilty of? And unfortunately, Doc's here, and sometimes I go to him as my doctor, so I don't want to tell him this, but have you ever got a prescription and you take it? I like the ones where there's only three pills in the bottle, because I can deal with that. But if there's 20 pills in that bottle, the likelihood of me finishing all 20 pills are nil. Because you know what I'm going to do? When I get to pill number 10 and I'm feeling better, that goes in the counter, amen. You know, and I think, I don't need this anymore. I don't have time, or I forget to take them, and I'm thinking, what use is it now? I've missed 5 days, so I just shove it in the counter. You know, many, many times what we do as Christians is we do not take the medicine we need spiritually. Listen, if you've got bitterness in your heart right now, you're sick. If you have a hurt feelings in your heart that somebody has done something to you and you've not been able to let it go, you're sick. If there is a sin that is just eating your lunch and you can't, and it doesn't have to be one of the big 10, it can be anything, and you're just tripping over that, then there's an area in your life that needs some help from the great physician. If anger has gotten a hold of you and you just blow up constantly, that's not healthy. Okay, and I can't name every sin that you could do. All I'm saying is that if you were honest, look at yourself and ask yourself this question. Am I healthy spiritually? Or is there a part of me that's wounded that I've never allowed to heal and has gotten to the point where it's starting to spread? It's starting to affect the other areas of my Christian life. It's not just staying where it was originally. Now it's got other areas of me affected. Now it's affecting other relationships in my life. It's not only bothering me. It may be bothering your wife. It may be bothering your kids. It may be affecting your workplace. It may be affecting your neighbors. It's spilling over because it's not been dealt with. And he's saying, listen, although the prognosis looks pretty bad, it hasn't gotten to the point where I can't help you. If you'll just do these things, wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes, cease to do evil, learn to do well, seek judgment, relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, plead for the widow. Come now, let us reason together. I love this. Look at verse 18. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be scarlet, though your sores be putrefying, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. He's saying, there's not a wound I can't heal. There's not a sore that I can't fix. It doesn't matter how deep the infection goes. I can help that. Amen. Though your sins be scarlet, they shall be white as snow. I tell you what, that's a whole lot better than when we started off. That's a whole lot better place to be. Well, I mean, it's easy to be hard on the children of Israel. I want you to go to just two places really quick. Go to John chapter 6. John chapter 6 and verse 67. John chapter 6 and verse 67. He was talking to his disciples and he was telling them some things that were hard for them to hear it. In fact, in verse 60, I don't have time to read all of it, but in verse 60 of John chapter 6, it says this, many therefore of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, this is a hard saying, who can hear it? When he was talking about his body and his blood, and you can read that later. Then I want you to go down to verse 65, and it says this, and he said, therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. For from that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will you also go away? Now you think about that. You know, here's the Lord there, and he's trying to help people. And they didn't like what he said. And some of them just left. And then he looks at the remaining of them and he says this, will you also leave? Are you going to walk away? The reason why people did that, and remember what Jesus talked about commitment. He said, if you're not willing to hate your father, your mother, your brother, your sister, you cannot be my disciple. That's kind of putting where the bar where the commitment needs to be for somebody who died for you. The problem is, to make that kind of commitment, you can't do that if you're not spiritually healthy. You're not going to be faithful to them. You've got to call in too many sick days. You're not going to be faithful to them because the problems in the life are going to slow you down, and you're not going to be able to be what you need to be because you haven't taken care of what's inside. There's no sense moving a step further until you know that you're healthy. And too many of us are walking around with wounds, and some of them nobody else can see, but you know they're there. There are problems in relationships and problems with children and problems in our marriages and problems with other people in church and problems with family and problems with personal sin. And there are things that God can see, but maybe we can cover them up and yet we're trying to do the things. We're trying to show up for church, and we're trying to be spiritual. We're trying to do all these things, but the outcome's not where it needs to be, because we just got to stop and understand that that just wasn't a problem of Israel. It's a problem we can still have today. Do you think that we've run out of sick people? Well, let me just close with this and listen to how Jesus put it in Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5 and then verse 31. Luke chapter 5 and verse 31. Let's go up here to verse 29. And Levi made a great feast in his house, in his own house, and there was a great company of publicans and of others that sat down with them. But the scribes and the Pharisees murmured against his disciples, why do you eat and drink with publicans and sinners? And Jesus answering and said unto them, they that are whole need not a physician. He wasn't saying that the Pharisees had gotten to the point where they don't need a doctor. He's saying they don't realize they need a doctor. I can't help them. He's saying, those that think that they've got their own righteousness, it doesn't matter what the doctor tells them, they're not going to listen. They don't need it. And here's a statement that he made after that. Jesus answering and said unto them, they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. Now, obviously, when he's talking to these scribes, you know what he thought about them. You know that they were not healthy. They just thought they were healthy. He's saying, I can't help those people. He said, but here's what I've come for. Says, they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Right here, Jesus is saying, my main purpose in coming here was for those that are sick. I didn't come for the righteous. You know he's talking to the scribes. Those, they were not his friends. Okay? He said, you know, the scribes and the Pharisees, when you looked at them, they were like dead man's bones. You know what his opinion of them was? He wasn't saying that they were okay and that they just didn't need help. He's saying those people, no matter what you do, they don't see the fact that they're sick. But you know what he said? He said, I came for the sinners. That's the ones that I come, the ones that know that they need help. And you know what he called himself there? He called himself a physician. Call himself a doctor. Well, then let's go back to what we just read in Isaiah. If you've got wounds and you've got putrefying sores and you got bruises, what do you need? You need a physician. And you know what Jesus said? He's the physician. And it doesn't matter how deep the sore is or how big the wound is or how hurtful or how stuck you might be or how toxic life has become on the inside. And listen, the worst thing you can do is ignore something inside of you that says something's not right. Because, you know, if you go and you get it taken care of, you know, it's not so bad. You know, they say stage one cancer, stage two. Nobody wants to hear stage four cancer, right? May I tell you something? You don't want to hear stage four cancer spiritually either, because you should have got it looked at when it was in the stage one category. The idea is this. Do you think the church is much better off than the children of Israel when he looked at them today? Not if you're honest. Because we still have brokenness in church today. Right? This church is, if we're honest, there's nobody in this room that doesn't have something that the Lord can help you with, if you're honest. Whether it's a hurt feeling, whether it's something that's in your past, whether it's something you're struggling with today, but it's whether or not we'll be honest enough to say, yes, that's me. Yes, that I need the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, he can help me, and yes, he can heal this. Because until we get it healed, until we let him, do that work in our heart until we go and let him address the problem, until we're honest with him and say, listen, you already can see it, but it's time that I tell you this. I am not okay. I need your help. Now, it's easy to say, well, I don't know. Well, all I can tell you is, why isn't the divorce rate the same outside of the church as it's in the church? Why is the church not free from chemical addiction? Why is it not free from thought problems? Why is it not free from affairs and adultery? Why is it not free? I can go on and on and on. We don't like to talk about it. We like to just pretend that those things don't happen. We like to, because it's embarrassing sometimes and it's hurtful. I mean, there are people in churches that battle depression. They walk through a door of a church every Sunday and they walk back out with the same depression they walk in here on. And I can go on and on. And what we've done is we put a suit coat on it, and we put a smile on it. We try to make it through that Sunday, but we're not okay. We're sick, and we don't have to be. Because there's a great physician. And there's no reason for anybody to walk out of this room with any kind of hurt inside of you, whether it's hurt you caused yourself or hurt somebody else is causing you. There's no need to walk out of this room without getting help, because he's here and he can help us. I mean, that doesn't matter how deep that infection goes. Though your sins be as scarlet, they can be white as snow. Now, you talk about a healing. That's a healing. It's not something that's going to take months and months and months. It's you just coming to him and saying, listen, I need you. I desperately need your help. This is where I'm hurting. I am not okay here. I need your intervention. I need your wisdom. I need your guidance. The doctor told him what to do. He said, cleanse your hands, ye sinners. You know, purify yourself. You know, and let me work in you. And until we, as God's people, he was talking to Israel. Isaiah chapter 1 wasn't to some pagan nation. It was to his family. It was to his children. It was to people. I mean, God's chosen people. He's having a hard talk with his own family. And he's saying, listen, you guys are sick. I nursed you, I brought you up, and you're in a bad spot. He didn't leave them helpless that day. You know what he'd say to the church today? Listen, guys, we've got a job to do. There are people that are lost and going to hell every day, and for whatever reason, God entrusted us with that truth. We cannot do it, guys, when we're sick. We can't do it. So the question is, it's hard to get an appointment with a doctor right now, right? They will tell you, come in 3 months. You're like, I could be dead by then. May I tell you something? You don't have to wait 3 months to get an appointment with the Lord. You don't have to do that. You can in just a second, there's going to be some openings. In just a second. There's going to be an invitation and there's going to be an altar. Why do we keep pretending that everything's okay? And I just crave honesty. And it goes a long way with the Lord. Why not find a spot at this altar and say, God, I need you to help in an area that's not okay with me. I need you to help me to forgive. I need you to give me strength to overcome. I need you to give me the strength to go to somebody else and ask them to forgive me. But I don't want to walk out of here feeling the way I feel now. You don't have to. Because he can help you. What he was telling those disciples then, he was saying, the people in Israel needed a doctor. That's what I came here for you, is because you need one too. He's not talking about healing them of a physical problem. He did that all the time. He's saying, because you're sick because of sin. And he's the only one that can help you with that. He's the only one that can fix that. Nobody else can help you with those problems. And sometimes it's sometimes it's a little embarrassing to go to the doctor. I don't like it. I mean, sometimes it's hard to say, hey, here's my problem. But may I tell you something? There's nobody that loves you more like Jesus. And he's not condescending. He's not judgmental. You know what he'll do? As a great physician, he will sit down and he will help heal your wounds. And only he can do that, right? Only he can do that. And then once we are in the spot where we need to be with our families and us personally, mentally, spiritually, where our wounds are healed, then you know what we can do? We can go out there and help somebody else that's wounded. But we can't do that until we get the help that we need. And we can't, and it does no good to sit there and to think, you know, I was thinking about, as I was writing this message, I was thinking about, I'm not big on psychology and those kinds of things, because I really honestly believe every answer you need is in that book. But oftentimes you hear people saying that something from your childhood that you just didn't deal with, and I always thought, I don't know if I believe in all that. And I was thinking that the other day. I was thinking about wounds that I've had as a kid, as a teenager, that have never really ever healed. Oh, I've got them by a little bit. They look better sometimes than others. But then the honest fact is some of them have never healed. All the way back from when I was a kid. And I thought, how can that not affect you? Because you're sick. There's a part that's broken, a part that's, you think, nobody loves you, nobody cares about you. And you're like, well, that's not macho to feel like that. Suck it up. Go on. So what? Live with the hurt. That's not what God wants you to do. God wants you to get it healed. Because if you don't, you're just going to keep dragging it. And there'll be no end. But he can help us today if we'll let him. Let's stand, if you would, with heads bowed and eyes closed. I'm going to ask Brother Matt to come and close this out. Shauna and will help me with a baptism here in just a second. I'm going to ask Brother Matt. I'm going to pray, and the ladies come. I'm going to have Brother Matt come and close this invitation out. Father, thank you for your word, and thank you, Father, for the truth that's in it. Lord, listening to you talk about the children of Israel and where they were at here, listening to you in the words that you would use, talking about their condition, even the words of putrefying sores. And you just think about Christianity today. Lord, the church is just not as strong as it was years ago all across the nation. As our nation has become sick, it has definitely spilled over into our families, our homes, and our churches. Lord, sin and the stories that abound are rampant. The hurt, the disappointment, the falling away, the being entangled in the snares of this world, we all bear the scars of that. And Lord, oftentimes we may attend to it a little bit, but never deal with the root of the problem. And therefore, we walk around sick at best. Father, it may get to the point where from the top to the bottom. But Lord, we are not without help or without hope. That we have you. And Lord, just like with Israel, you told them that although that prognosis seemed very bleak, Lord, you offered a remedy, and we have one too today. that we can cast our cares upon you. And I pray that you'd help us to do that. Nobody in this room needs to walk out here carrying anything with them. Lord, that you can heal and you can help, but not unless we address it. And Father, it does no good to pretend or to deal with something that's only healed halfway. Father, Lord, I pray that there would be some real healing today in our hearts, our lives, our homes, so that we can be healthy and about our Father's business. But only you can help us see that. And I pray that you would, and I pray that we would use this altar this morning. We love you. We ask this in your precious name as the ladies play. If God spoke to your heart, you come, and Brother Matt, if you'll close us out.
You know, if you're sitting there now and you may be in a bad way, a place where you can't sit and think that you're going to be in heaven if the Lord called you home today. Well, now's a good time to take care of that. You could be in a spot where you're just thinking, I've not talked to the Lord lately. I've not spent time with the Lord like I should. Today would be a good day to take care of that as well. Y'all may be seated. We're going to get ready and have the baptism here. Do want to just kind of make mention that we are having our homecoming today. Everyone is invited, so please stay around and eat with us. Also, I have an announcement I'd like to make. As you all know, a few weeks back, we lost Sister Jackie Walker, who passed away. And you all know what a lovely, kind, sweet person she was. You also know, probably most of you know, there's an extreme expense when it comes to burying a loved one. And so what we would like to do is put out an offering plate today. And if you guys feel led to, we would like to take up a donation for Sister Jackie and Brother Billy's headstones. I've talked to Sheila about that, and she was okay with us doing that. So we'll put an offering plate out today. If you guys feel led, you know, maybe to donate a little money towards that purchase of their headstone, we'd greatly appreciate that. Also have one other thing. The parsonage key and the van key that is usually stored, hung up right behind the door here, is missing. So if you've got either the van key or the parsonage key, please hang them back up. So that's all I have.
Okay. Nate Burge, right? Got the name right? Not Burge. Nate King. Yeah. Sean did tell me he was a Burge earlier. Let me turn this microphone on. Let's see here. Which way is it? You got it? Okay. All right, here, Nate, come over this way. Okay. So, Nate plays football, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, for Oneida?
Yes, sir.
What position do you play?
Offensive lineman.
Offensive lineman. That's why I didn't play offensive lineman. I wasn't big enough. They only let me be the water boy. So Nate's been coming. How long have you been his coach?
2 years.
2 years. And Sean says that after practice on Thursday, they have a devotion time. And Nate has raised his hand several times just asking for prayer about salvation. And the other day, I had a chance to go do devotions there at the school. And afterwards, he found Coach Sean, and he trusted Christ as his Savior. And, you know, it's funny because he's a football player, and he starts shaking when he got to the top of this baptistry. I'm like, what is a big guy like this afraid of? But, you know, it's a big deal for a young man today to stand up in front of his peers. And what you're saying today, Nate, you're telling them, listen, I'm not ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ and what he did for me. And when I baptize you, it's like you're telling a story. When I put you under the water, we say buried in the likeness of his death, you are identifying with the Lord Jesus Christ died for you. What he did on the cross paid for your sins. And not only did he die, but he rose again, and in doing so, he can give us new life. And that's what you're telling people today in baptism. And if you've been saved and you've not been baptized, it's an opportunity to do that. The Bible says, if you deny me before men, I'll deny you before my Father in heaven. It's an opportunity to tell people, hey, I'm not ashamed. This is what I believe. I believe that I was a sinner on my way to hell, and Jesus Christ saved me. So, Nate, if you died today, do you know where you'd go? You put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And he also has a desire to join our church and be a member here at Helenwood Baptist Church, and that's a blessing as well. Okay, Nate, if you'll turn here. Okay, just go like that. There you go. All right. Hey, listen, all of those, that's your new family out there. It's my privilege, Nate, to baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, buried in the likeness of his death, raised to walk in newness of life. And everybody said, amen. Okay, Brother Matt, if you can close up and you get a chance afterwards, greet him and welcome him into our church family. And then, Matt, you'll give food directions. I'm sure there's plenty of food over there, and we'll see you over there.
We stand. Again, homecoming, plenty of food. Everybody please stay around and enjoy. Brother Lloyd, would you dismiss us, please?